Amen. Let's come to our confessional reading this evening, Lord's Day 48, page 255 in the Forms and Prayers. And we'll be looking even especially at the first few lines of this question and answer. And you can see Matthew 6:33 even there as part of the proof text for those first few lines. But we'll read this whole question and answer. One question and answer in Lord's Day 48, question and answer 123. I'll say the question, let's together say the answer. What does the second petition of the Lord's Prayer mean? Your kingdom come means, rule us by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. Preserve and increase your church. Destroy the devil's work. Destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your holy word. Do all this until your kingdom fully comes, when you will be all in all. It's the confession we hold in common. Let us turn now to the very word of God, Matthew chapter 6, part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 5 to 7, Matthew chapter 6, page 1031, and the Bible's under the seats. We'll look especially at verse 33. We'll begin our reading at verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, looking especially at verse 33, but beginning our reading at verse 25. Let us hear the word of God. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So far the reading. The grass withers, the flower fades, the word of our Lord endures forever. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, all Scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, correcting, and training in righteousness. Even as God's Word does speak to us in so many different ways, we can go from, for those who are here this morning, we can go from a bloody text and one of those at first glance, what is going on texts, and then we can come to a text that speaks about things like, what do you wear, and what will you eat, and what will tomorrow bring, and all of this everyday language and a seemingly simple command. Seek first the kingdom of God. It's not some structurally difficult command. It's not words that are difficult to understand. It's seek first the kingdom of God. And so we are reminded again that God's word speaks to us. It is all His word. It is all good. It is all useful, even as it comes to us in different ways. And we're spoken to in different language by the Holy Spirit and His word. And our theme tonight, now this evening, is this: to live with kingdom priorities. And our first point comes straight from that language, the first words of Matthew 6:33, kingdom seeking. And then if you're looking in the bulletin, I flipped points 2 and 3, so our second point will be kingdom blessings. And then our third point is, we'll tie this back to prayer. Point 3 is kingdom praying. And brothers and sisters, there are many things that we might be consumed by. We read from verse 25 for some context, but we can go back further also to verses 19 to 21, where Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And especially verse 21 there is part of this context that is leading up to Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God. What our heart is laid, what's laid up for our heart, the desires of our heart, is directly related to the command to seek first. What is your heart set on? What are your first priorities? What are you seeking? And then in the verses that we did read, Jesus speaks about some of the specific earthly treasures and earthly concerns that we might set our heart on, that we might be consumed by, that might be first place in our life. Things about what we will drink and what we will wear, and also questions like, what is the span of my life, at the end of verse 27. Certainly we can ask a question like, what is for dinner? And we can think about a question like, what is for dinner? And what am I going to make for dinner? And that is not a bad question. If we never thought about that, if we never prepared it, then we're not taking care of the body that God gave to us. But this text is about, again, our priority, what our heart is set on, What are we laying up treasures for? What is our priority? What is taking first place? And if we give first place to any earthly concern, and Jesus has what? He's picked daily concerns. He's picked things that we all think about, like what we eat and what we wear and how long we will live. But these are just three examples that Jesus gave us, and He just gave us common examples that everybody thinks about. But the point is this: there is anything that we can set our heart on, that we can make our priority in life, that we can be seeking. We can seek any earthly thing. But we are called to have our hope, our priority, our heart, not to be driven by the stuff of this world, but rather to be those who seek the kingdom. And then indeed, the kingdom seeking is related to everything we do. The Apostle Paul uses that language of everything you do, and also of food and drink, the common examples in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, when the Apostle Paul says, "So, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And so we can step back and we can think about how, yes, we do have to eat, we do have to drink, we do have to go to work. The question is, what is our priority? What is the attitude of our heart as we do these things?
And so we can think about two different ways to go to work, whether you're working abroad or in the home or in a classroom or whatever. And we can consider how a person could be consumed by the money they'll earn at work or the reputation that they can build up by showing off their skills and accomplishing tasks. Or a person can be going to work and be seeking the glory of God and to be doing work well as a servant in His name. Or we can think about two different ways to play a sport. A person can play a sport consumed with their own glory and their own accomplishments and doing things and building up their trophy case or whatever it is. Or a person can play a sport and be thinking about how bodily exercise is of some value, but godliness is of eternal value, to use the language of 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. And then we can also give kingdom-seeking examples that if playing sports doesn't apply to some of our children already, we can also give kingdom-seeking examples that apply to even our youngest children, but to older children as well. And we can think about things like, you know, I want that toy. I don't want to be told that I can't play this video game anymore, that my timer ran out. And then what can be the attitude that comes up? Well, what do we sometimes use? We sometimes use the phrase throwing a fit, right? Well, what's going on when somebody throws a fit? You're seeking your kingdom. You're self-seeking. Whenever you throw a fit, you're saying, I want this and I want it now. But whether we're giving adult examples or maybe examples that are closer to the lives of even our youngest members, we are called not to be self-seeking, but to seek the kingdom of God. And notice, brothers and sisters, that while sometimes this should be evident from the outside, we give testimony as we are able, we, as God's people, should have a calmer spirit, a deep-rooted joy. We're talking about heart attitudes here. And so sometimes the two different ways of going to work, it's not going to be easy to see the difference. And so this is a text that takes us, again, to our heart, as the Word of God often does. And it asks us, what is our heart attitude as we go from here to there, and as we go from our work to our recreation and everything in between, like eating and drinking and putting on our clothes for the day? We are called to be kingdom seeking in all that we do, and that this would be the very attitude of our heart. Well, let's come, brothers and sisters, to our second point, kingdom blessings. And now we're looking at the middle of verse 33 and His righteousness, and then we'll get also to the end of verse 33, and all these things shall be added to you. We start with the middle words about His righteousness. Those very words are a reminder that we're not saved by our own seeking. We're called to seek. We're called to work. But it's not something that we do by our own power, by our own strength, by our own righteousness. We live by His righteousness. We are sinners saved by grace. William Hendrickson once used the illustration of a tree, and how a tree is doing a lot of seeking. It's doing a lot of work. A tall, mature tree in a single day can take up gallons of water and soak them up and bring them up to the tree, or even sometimes hundreds of gallons of water in a day. That's a lot of work. Try to carry 100 gallons of water up multiple flights of stairs in a single day. A tree is hard at work. But does a tree ever operate by its own power? Does a tree ever power itself? No, God has made trees to be powered by an energy source outside of itself. The tree is powered by especially the light of the sun. And so this is a picture of our Christian life. We're called to work. We're called to, as the Apostle Paul said it in Philippians 2, verse 12b, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But do we do anything by our own strength? Are we powering any of the spiritual fruit that we might produce in our tree limbs? Are we powering any of that by ourselves? No, it is only the Holy Spirit's presence within us. It is only Christ's righteousness worked through us. And so the very next verse of Philippians chapter 2 is Philippians 2 verse 13, which says this, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." And so it is His righteousness. It is His power. And then these words also remind us that they're His rules. And in the context of Matthew 5, that may even be the first focus here. And Jesus has just used this phrase repeatedly, "You have heard it said, but I say." Right? And so when it says, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, it's a reminder that we're not living by our rules. We're living by His rules and by God's own definition of His rules. Not by the Pharisees who add to the law in some places and take away from the law in other places. No, we come to God's law and we hear how God Himself interprets His holy law. It's His righteousness. It's His rules. It's His way. And then we come to the end of verse 33. "And all these things shall be added unto you." And here, brothers and sisters, the plainest way to see how this verse follows all the way through is to think in terms of the gospel, to think in terms of our call to repent and believe, and then to think in terms of gospel blessings, of heavenly blessings. And so let's take the phrase, "and all these things shall be added to you," and let's think about it in terms of heaven. And let's take those daily things that Jesus has mentioned in the preceding context. How do we think about food and drink in heavenly terms? Is there any food and drink in heaven? Where does God bring His people? He brings all of His people to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And what is in heaven? The tree of life. Food and drink, all these things will be added to you. What about what we will wear? What clothing of heaven? What is the clothing in heaven? It's described symbolically, if not literally, in Revelation. We are given white garments because, yes, we are sinners, but we wear white because we are washed white as snow by the blood of the Lamb. All these things will be added to you. Your clothing, God's people, you will receive the white garments of heaven. And then what about verse 27, the span of your life? What is the span of heaven? It is eternal life. Oh, there is such a thing as gnawing hunger upon this earth as part of the trouble of one day to another. There are even many believers who have faced gnawing hunger and real hunger upon this earth. But God's people know all these things will be added to you, even in heavenly terms and forevermore. And this brings us to our third point, kingdom praying. The spiritual discipline of prayer. This is, we might say, one specific part of kingdom seeking, is to be kingdom praying. And once again, we see how it relates to the words that came before in the Sermon on the Mount, because where did Jesus publicly teach the crowd the Lord's Prayer? It was in the Sermon on the Mount. Look back at Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. And what is the second petition of the Lord's Prayer? It's seek the kingdom of God in prayer form. Your kingdom come. We are called to be kingdom prayers, and to have this specifically as our prayer, part of our prayer list, as a focal point in what we pray for. We are seeking the kingdom. We are praying for the coming of God's kingdom. We go here to the language of the Catechism. We see your kingdom come means rule us by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. Brothers and sisters, I love many phrases in the Heidelberg Catechism. I love the phrase more and more. We see it a few times in the Catechism. I'll just go back to one other time. If you turn back a couple of pages to the end of question answer 115, is one of the other places we see this phrase. And here it is, speaking about the Ten Commandments as a whole and why they should be preached. And it says, second, this is the second half of question answer 115, so that we may never stop striving and never stop praying to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, so that we may be renewed, here it is, more and more after God's image, until after this life we reach our goal, perfection. After this life, we reach our goal. Here's Matthew 6. We should not be anxious. We should not be worried from day to day. But will we be anxious? Will we have worries and concerns as we face the trouble of each day, like it says at the end of verse 34? Surely there is no one who seeks first the kingdom of God without ever self-seeking, without ever turning into ourselves, without ever having worry and concern. Surely this is one of those many places where we stand before the Word of God and we say, I fall short. I do not set my heart upon the glory of God constantly. And I will struggle with worry and anxiety. But what is our prayer, and what is the language of a believer? It's that more and more we would learn kingdom seeking, until after this life we will reach our goal, perfection, and there will no longer be any days of trouble or struggle. Now, brothers and sisters, the Catechism, it takes us beyond our own hearts. It takes us beyond responsibilities in our own realm. It takes us to broad, sweeping applications. Preserve and increase your church. Destroy the devil's work. Destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your holy work. Do all this until your kingdom fully comes and you will be all and in all. Certainly there's appropriate applications of seek first the kingdom of God that are tied to evangelism, to the fellowship of the saints, to our civic duty in this world as a whole, to live as the salt and light of the earth. And certainly We could go into far-reaching subjects, but we are keeping this more personal focus, and even those first two or three lines of the question and answer tonight. And so we come back to that language of more and more. We submit to you. And brothers and sisters, may this be shown in our prayers. May we learn this in our prayers and in coming to God in prayer. Do you bring kingdom concerns before the Lord in prayer? Do you bring your personal kingdom concerns and the heart desires that you have? Do you bring this before the Lord in prayer? Our Father in heaven delights to hear our prayer, delights to hear us taking all of our concerns to Him as we seek to more and more be setting our heart on His kingdom, seeking His kingdom. And there was a minister who once gave the account of a parishioner. And this parishioner had just had a daughter in his mid-20s come to him and speak to him, her father, about a broken heart. And he was in one sense, not that he was delighted that her heart was broken, but he was in one sense delighted just that his daughter, in that time of life, just that she would come to him. Because she was showing that she trusted his love and his care and his concern for her. And that she trusted him and that she wanted to speak to him. She wanted her father to hear the concerns of her heart. Brothers and sisters, this is a small picture of how our Heavenly Father receives our prayers. When we have a concern that comes upon us, our Father is delighted. Not in the fact that we are suffering, but that we bring those sufferings to Him. And that we speak to Him, that we lay them out before Him, that we trust Him to hear our concerns. Kingdom praying is a huge part of kingdom seeking. The psalmist says this about how the Lord hears prayer, and there are many verses that we could turn to, but we'll turn to this psalm, Psalm 145. If you turn with me, Psalm 145, verses 18 and 19. We pray for the coming of the kingdom of God, and we bring the concerns of our heart to God, asking Him to help us through the troubles of one day to another, to set our heart on Him. How does the Lord hear our prayers as we bring our concern to Him? Psalm 145, verses 18 and 19. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desire, and all these things shall be added unto you. He fulfills the desire of those who fear Him. He also hears their cry and saves them. Brothers and sisters, more and more in our prayers and in everything we do, may we learn to seek the kingdom of God. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven,